Hi, this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Vermont parents have a new show to turn to when they've exhausted all the episodes of whatever their preschoolers are currently watching. A new 6-episode series for kids called Mr. Chris and Friends just debuted on Vermont PBS the day before Thanksgiving. And all 6 episodes are available for watching at the Vermont PBS website. By the way, Vermont PBS and VPR are totally different organizations. Let's listen to a scene from the pilot episode where Mr. Chris learns how apple blossoms become apples. Here he is speaking with some of the kiddos about being brave.
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
Are you excited for the barn concert?
Yes.
Me too. Do you know that I met a honeybee today?
You did?
Not even just one honeybee, but 3 honeybees.
Wow.
But I was nervous. I was nervous to meet the honeybees.
Why?
Well, I was nervous because I was meeting a new friend. Do you ever feel nervous to meet a new friend?
Yes.
Yeah? What do you do when you're nervous?
I usually just face my fears and go do what I'm nervous about.
You just go do it? How do you find that brave inside of you?
That when I'm nervous about something and that I try it, it doesn't seem very scary anymore.
Yeah. So you just have to try. Mm-hmm. You just go and you try and then you feel better.
That's a scene from Mr. Chris and Friends, a new program for children produced by and airing on Vermont PBS. Mr. Chris is Chris Dorman, known to many Vermont families for his work leading music and movement classes for young people and the many concerts he's held at Bread and Butter Farm in Shelburne over the years. Chris Dorman joins us today to talk about his work and his new show. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Jane. So happy to be here.
How did you become a television star? I mean, this is a new turn for you.
That's a great question. My musical journey began, with a desire to reach people genuinely. And I see how music can move people, and I see the good work it can do. And it's brought a lot of joy into my life. Moving to Vermont to start a farm, we were welcomed with open arms, and we had young kiddos. And my career as a musician shifted when I became a father. I knew deep down inside to be the best anything, best musician or anything in my life, I'd have to be the best father or try to be the best at that hardest job. And so I took a break from performing, and in that time, I started writing and playing for my kiddos, and then was invited to play at schools. And from there, the seed of the idea to start a music and movement program came. And it's all really come from there, that simple place.
So Music for Sprouts is that program that you do with kids, and it's music and movement. What do kids do when they come to your classes?
So kiddos ages 0 to 5 come with their families, their parents, their caregivers. You can imagine 10 sitting in a half circle, everyone, grown-ups and kiddos alike. And the class follows this familiar arc. We have something called a settling song, one that doesn't ask too much of anyone in the room, but invites them to find their voices and to also, to listen to all the sounds and be a part of those sounds in the room. And, throughout the class, kiddos are singing, they're dancing, they're jumping. And they're showing us things that, as educators, we've never seen before. And so our role in the class as a teacher in music and movement is to observe and then tie all of the things we see, those beautiful things, into the songs.
A lot of your philosophy and strategy for helping kids learn through movement and music comes through in Mr. Chris and Friends, the new show on Vermont PBS, but it's done in a different way. I mean, it's a show, so it has sort of a narrative arc. It has another scene where you go somewhere or learn about birds or learn how apple blossoms become apples and how honeybees are involved in that. How did you and Vermont PBS get connected to try to think about doing something that was sort of similar to what you're doing, but also much more in the vein of a TV show and one that might be familiar to people who either grew up with or are familiar with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you sort of where it all began, our connection with Vermont PBS. It really was in the music and movement classes and the shows that we play regularly that I met a man, Brian Holland, who's a web programmer at Vermont PBS, and his family would come to regular library shows. And Brian came up to me at the end of a concert and said, "Have you ever, you know, dreamed of making a TV show?" And I said, "Well, I have." and one of those far-off dreams, as dreams can be. And I said, "Well, you know, Vermont PBS is, you know, reinvigorating our commitment to local programming, programming that really centers around, you know, their goals of connecting directly and genuinely to the community. And I think this might be a good time to put in a pitch. They're calling, you know, all ideas to the table, like all ideas are equal." And so we did. We put together a pitch, and that was the beginning. Through every step of the way, though, the reason it kept moving and is keeping to move is that everyone involved believed in it, mm-hmm. felt connected to it, and saw themselves in the project, I think. The CEO of Vermont PBS, Holly Groschner, she was the first to, when sitting down and meeting with her, she said, "Yeah, there's something here that we could explore."
One of the things I noticed in watching your shows, Chris, is that you talk to the listeners, to the viewers directly, but I wonder what that felt like to actually perform that or do that, because if you're accustomed to talking to actual people in real life, it's a different thing to look at a camera and have to be as intimate with a camera as you would be with real people. Was that tricky for you?
I think that's a question I asked myself going into creating the show, since I've never done anything like this before. However, the years and years of experience with families and children created a lot of memories, and I can draw upon those memories while I'm looking at the camera and imagining that I'm speaking directly to the audience. And I hold that responsibility. I hold the opportunity to reach out to the world in that way, to children, as a high responsibility. And so, yes, with practice throughout the filming of season one, I really feel like I did develop a sense that I was able to address the camera as if, because I knew the kiddos would be watching.
Do you think of the camera then as a person, or do you think of a person sort of inside or beyond the camera?
That's a great question. You know, beyond the camera, of course, is where you see yourself. And I'm not sure exactly.
You mean really like on a monitor, not sort of philosophically where you see yourself?
No, I actually mean philosophically.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So to speak and to move and to sing on camera, you're interacting with the space that's around you. And so to hold, I almost feel like I hold the children that we're reaching in my heart more so than a visual place. And so, you know, when you can, when you look at something long enough and it starts to evolve and turn into something else, the camera can sort of disappear in that way. And so more so I'm imagining that I'm there in the barn studio, and this is a day in which anything could happen.
Would you mind playing a little bit for us? You brought an instrument, and you can sort of give us an example of how you think about including children and thinking about movement and music in the learning process.
Sure. I'm sure I would love to. I brought my ukulele. And if I were speaking directly to the kiddos listening now, which I will, I would explain what I'm holding here. The ukulele, it has a small body made of wood. And a long neck, like, well, what's an animal that you know that has a long neck? Maybe a giraffe or a kangaroo. And the ukulele has four strings, and each string has a unique sound, a beautiful sound, just like you do. And we'll listen to those one at a time. And if you listen, you can even hear that the ukulele sings its own name. It sings, ukulele. We could sing that too. We could sing ukulele. We could sing a song that I love to play and is in the Mr. Chris and Friends show. It's called Listening is Giving. And this is one that really does try to express how we feel. It's a true gift when you're listening, when you're watching, when you're taking in what someone you know or someone you love says. They're saying it to you because they want you to hear. And so, thank you for listening.
Listening is giving, to listen is to give. Listening is giving, listening is giving, to listen is to give. And when you listen with your eyes, you see. When you listen with your ears, you hear. When you listen with your body, you dance. When you listen with your heart, you love. Listening is giving, listening is giving. To listen is to give. Listening is giving, listening is giving. To listen is to give. Yes, to listen is to give. Yes, to listen is to give.
I like it. That starts every episode of Mr. Chris and Friends. Why?
Well, when we think of each episode, we think of wanting to create a very familiar arc. And so something familiar right at the beginning would be an important way to start, and then something familiar at the end. And in between, if we're creating a safe social emotional environment, a safe place to be, then I think that's when the feelings of courage to explore new things can be more readily available inside. And
how do you know? I mean, have you looked at at studies, and did I assume, you know, Vermont PBS is looking at things like what the studies have shown about educational attainment for children and how you look at shows and what shows need to include to be considered educational. But how do you know that what you're doing is the right thing to resonate with small kids?
It's an amazing question, I think, that parents and caregivers ask too. And I find, you know, the idea of familiarity and a familiar arc and knowing what to expect, I think that first came to me in, you know, bedtime stories, bedtime routine, moments in parenting that can be traditionally, oh, who knows what's going to happen. To have that familiar routine can really help. And then in the classes, the music classes, we follow the same idea in our classes, and we watch real in real life how that not only puts people at ease, but when they're at ease, to see what they are have the courage to do, to try, and also what they absorb. And, you know, we have kiddos in class who will sit still with eyes wide open the entire class. They won't move, they won't sing, they won't make a sound, and they'll go home and they have their holes set up and they'll rock out. There are so many different ways to take in information. And so our goal is to create the safest, most gentle environment so that all the different ways of listening are welcome and possible. And then, you know, going into actually making a TV show, this is a different level of responsibility, for we're reaching many more people. And so I'm so thankful that I'm not doing that alone. We have an incredible team. We are working with early childhood education specialists filter, to go through all of our ideas. And we ask, you know, how can these be better? What are we missing? What could we do more of? Or how could we say something that serves the goals that we've expressed that we want to achieve?
When you perform just now and when in the songs that you perform in the show, you pitch your voice pretty high in sort of a childlike register. Is that different from how you performed when you sang for adults? Or is it, you know, is that sort of the natural way that you sing? Or are you doing something specifically to sort of gear to the way children sing and listen?
Yes, that is something that I do intentionally, to be in the register of children's singing voices. If they feel inspired to sing along, thinking that that would be more accessible for them. And I did not think of it in that way before I was a father, before I started working with children. I have been inspired in this realm of my work to think about using my voice in a whole different way and for a whole different reason.
How do adults respond to that? I mean, do they see it and open up in the same way, or do they see you? I mean, is there a barrier? If there's a way that you communicate really easily with children and you're sort of on the same level as children, are you also on the same level as the adults in the room and the children's parents? Or is there this sort of barrier of like, is he trying to be a child? Is he an adult? What's happening here? I don't know where I come in. I don't know how I fit into this. I can't sing that high. I'm not going to participate. I mean, how do adults respond?
I think just like kiddos, there's a variety of different responses. I think that one of the wonderful things that I've observed over the years working with children and families with grown-ups, because I spend just as much time with grown-ups, is that we have this moment, this opportunity, where we're invited to, because it's about the kiddos, it brings out all the most tender parts of us. We're invited to be vulnerable. We're invited to be stronger than anyone knew we could be. And it crosses all barriers. It crosses gender barriers, gender, any kind of gender role that you've put on to yourself. You're invited in that space to be open and gentle and sweet. And music is just it makes it easier. It really does. And I've always appreciated growing up as a boy in some realms, I know boys and girls feel this, there are realms in which you don't feel comfortable to express your feelings. But then in a song, well, then that is this avenue for expressing that feeling. And it's not only accepted, but you can receive praise for expression. And so I've really appreciated being able to work in that realm where everyone involved is invited to do just that.
We're talking with Mr. Chris today, Chris Dorman. He's the host of Mr. Chris and Friends, a new show on Vermont PBS. He also runs Music for Sprouts, a music and movement class situation for young kids 0 to 5. Here's a little bit of one of the songs from the pilot episode.
Have a little pollinator, have a little honeybee. Do you like the taste of flowers early in the morning? Goodbye, little pollinator, goodbye, little honeybee. You didn't catch your name, faster than you came.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today we're talking with Chris Dorman, the Chris behind Mr. Chris and Friends on Vermont PBS. The new show for kids debuted on November 21st and is available for on-demand watching at vermontpbs.org. You can watch all 6 episodes whenever you want. Here's an excerpt from one of the episodes of Mr. Chris and Friends, a big, big barn concert featuring Cat Wright.
I hear something beautiful.
Here's something beautiful.
To give it life, to help it grow.
To give it life, to help it grow.
I hear something beautiful.
I hear something beautiful.
Open up my heart, open up my mind to something beautiful.
Chris, one of the things that's lovely about the series is that you invite lots of different people in. Again, sort of reminiscent of some of the things that people my age will be familiar with from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that there's a guest, there are community members. You go visit an apple orchard and talk to Nick. You have Kat who comes in and performs. You go see birds at a nature center. And it was interesting to me in watching them that you're it seems like, pretty careful not to place them too carefully in a specific location. You don't name the apple orchard. You don't name the nature center. Is that because there are plans to maybe send this outside of Vermont?
Well, I feel as if there are a couple of reasons why. One, we are trying to have magic be a magical element of the show, and also the show to be relatable and accessible. And so the orchard, we were at Shelburne Orchards, but that could be anybody's orchard, and kiddos' families could experience the orchard in that way. They could be inspired to go to their local orchard. And we also, you know, as for plans, I don't know that that's so much in our control. But one thing that I do know is that it will be folks listening that will give us the chance, tuning in and sharing with their friends like we do. So if the show has the value that we're trying to put into it, if we do a good job in that, that'll give us our best shot to reach families. And that's really what it's about.
So there is a hope, at least, for more than 6 episodes. You did a pilot episode, and then there was a long time between the pilot and the other 5 episodes that make up this season, and you had a Kickstarter, a fundraiser that people could help to contribute to. There's a hope for more, I take it?
Absolutely. It would be a dream to make episode after episode and to learn and grow right along with the kiddos who will be growing throughout the show's life. I love the work. And the team that I get to work with, they're incredible. And they would like to see this continue as well. And I know there are elements within our control and some that are without, but are outside of our control. But that desire to create this, to keep moving with this, I'm over the moon about it. And so all my fingers are crossed.
You mentioned the team. It takes a lot of people to put a television show together. That must be different from your normal work, which is, you know, you and maybe one other person, or you and a couple of people. To have to work with a whole team on a TV production is a huge deal.
It is so cool. There are so many different roles to play in bringing it all together. And I work with such incredibly talented people who have spent so many hours learning to do what they do. And it's not just about the finished product. It is all the hours that went into that. It's this living, growing thing. And I just want to thank everybody at Vermont PBS, as well as you mentioned our Kickstarter and our Kickstarter backers. All the families that have been listening to our music for years, they might not even realize, but they've helped shape this. Their feedback about songs, their live experience of a song, that's what informs me how to perform that song and how to write the next song. So this is an incredible group effort.
June posted on our Facebook page, "Mr. Chris is wonderful. As a grandmother, I am heart glad to see Mr. Rogers' legacy being so sweetly continued and right here in Vermont. Well done, Vermont PBS." Randy in South Burlington says, "I live near Chris. We love what he and his family have done to Bread and Butter Farm, as well as their recent expansion. His music and sense of community resonates not just with small kids, but with the small kid in all of us." And let's go to Suzanne calling in from Burlington. Hi, Suzanne. You're on the air. What are you thinking about?
Hi. I'm thinking this is absolutely wonderful. And it just brings me to not only my own childhood experiences with music in the house and et cetera, but also my 4 children who I've homeschooled over 26 years. It is just the most wonderful and refreshing thing, and it is so important that because music is so universal, and it doesn't matter if you're a day old or 100 years old. It can hit to the heart without any demeaningness, and it's just so important today in this world.
Suzanne, thanks for that. Chris, I assume you agree.
Thank you, Suzanne. I absolutely do. And I think that those times where music has brought together everybody who's in that room, when everyone is focused on this common goal, and it's this positive, moving forward type of goal, I feel like those moments can be transformative. I've felt that. I've heard that. And so I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to hear that you feel that way, Suzanne. And we're going to work hard to, you know, to see this through in that way.
Mary is calling in from Plainfield. Hi, Mary.
Yes. Chris, I'm from the Occasional Concert Series and the Rachel Bissick's White Light Fund and the Advanced Music Singer-Songwriter Contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just remembering when a few years ago you won that contest and got our monetary award, and how magical your performance was of what's basically a child song. It was the one about rain.
Wandering Wanda.
And the whole audience was just, and there wasn't a child involved, but the whole audience was just captivated and participating, and it was just so delightful. And I just wanted to remind you of that. And also, as a grandmother now, my four-year-old, we watched your show, and she's only allowed to watch Mr. Rogers, and so this now gets to be added to her programming. But she needs to stream it because she's in New Hampshire. So anyway, I just wanted to congratulate you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Do you remember the song that you won for that contest?
Absolutely.
Would you sing a little bit of it?
Sure. It's a song called Wandering Wanda, and it's actually the first song I ever wrote with children in mind. And thank you so much for reminding me, Mary. It goes, Wandering Wanda walked out her door, looked up with a smile at the blue sky. The sunshine warmed her skin and she thought, what a wonderful day for a walk. So she started out, and a little ways down the street she noticed the ground was dry, and the plants in her neighbor's garden looked thirsty. So she stopped and said, I wish that it would rain, I wish that it would rain all day. And what do you know? The great clouds came and they hovered above her. They hovered above her. And from there, the rain falls from the clouds. And we invite families. We had invited that audience there at Higher Ground to make the rain sounds. I'll invite our audience today. They rub your hands together to make the softest kind of rain. And then a little bit louder rain, and then from there we grow and grow until we have this big, big rainstorm, and at the end we reflect and say, Wandering Wanda walked back to her door, looked up with a smile at the gray sky. The raindrops cooled her skin and she thought, what a wonderful day for a walk. Boom, 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 boom.
And the adults did it. All the adults in the audience did all the movements.
It was amazing. That moment was amazing. And, you know, I think the thing that I'm most excited about being a part of Mr. Chris and Friends, Music for Sprouts, is that it's challenging me to go out and to know about things like the White Light Fund and the Rachel Bissick's Foundation, to engage and to support and illuminate the beauty of all the different things that are happening in our community. That moment enabled me to create my first children's album. That was how we used the funds. And this is just a perfect example of, you know, our eyes and ears are wide open. We want to know what's next.
We got a note from Nick in Burlington who says, I have a 2-year-old son who will be attending Music for Sprouts with you in January. We've seen you many times at events around Vermont, but we couldn't find a schedule of events for you. Is there anywhere online that you have a schedule for upcoming events or performances?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, we're going to be building that schedule at musicforsprouts.com, and you can find all events related to Mr. Chris and Friends at vermontpbs.org/Mr. Chris.
Which is also, you know, Mary mentioned that her granddaughter has to stream because she's living in New Hampshire. The episodes did debut on Vermont PBS the day before Thanksgiving, and they are airing Mondays and Wednesdays at 9:30 a.m. on Vermont PBS. But they're all online, so anybody who wants to watch all six can find them at vermontpbs.org to watch all of them at once. Why not put them out one at a time and make people wait?
Well, I think the idea is accessibility. And I know that the less barriers in between media that we're hoping to share with our kiddos, the better. And it is very easy. It's just so easy. You can watch all of the episodes anytime. Also, we know that children take in information over and over and over again. We have favorite songs in our house that we've listened to hundreds of times. And I've heard feedback from parents and caregivers that said, we've watched the pilot episode over and over and over again. When are you going to create new episodes? We've watched it. But so knowing that accessibility is our first goal, we want to make sure that it's available to anybody who would like to take it in.
Let's go to Sarah in South Burlington. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Chris. It's your near neighbor, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
You know well that I'm not part of the 0 to 5 set, but I have just loved these episodes. And one of my favorite things was the dancers, the dancing pig, the dancing cow, the dancing lettuce leaves. So I was hoping you could tell the listeners a little bit more about the dancers and how you incorporated that.
Thank you, Sarah. I love to hear what your favorite parts are. So we, again, want there to be magic in each episode. And we're approaching magic like real-life magic, which is what we see every day all around us. That's what's inspiring me to be a part of this project to begin with. And so with dancing in costumes, we're able to illuminate, express that magic in a way that, again, it feels like that could happen. Like that's something you could see if you were to go to one of the performances of Farmed Ballet, which were the dancers that performed in Mr. Chris and Friends. And so we are, again, we're trying to be gentle in the way in which we express magic. And I love that part, too. It's one of my favorite parts as well.
You also have a magic wishing well.
That's right. We couldn't have this conversation without speaking of wishing well. So wishing well, tell the story, came to life with sound and with light in a very simple way. When Mr. Chris had brought a crumbling wishing well into the barn studio, and when we put the final piece into the wishing well, that's when we first heard wishing well's voice. And the character wishing well is someone who we see each episode and whom we wish to learn something new. And wishing well gives us a clue that sets us on our adventure.
You're the only one who can seem to understand what wishing well is saying, though.
Well, we have had a few friends who come in. Anyone who comes into the barn studio is a friend of wishing well. Interestingly, I think that hearing feedback from children, I think the children are understanding wishing well even better than I am. So we're listening to how kiddos relate to these characters we're creating.
What do your kids think of all of this? They're a little bit older, right? They're nearing adolescence and hitting that age where it might be embarrassing to have dad be so out there.
I've thought a lot about that. I see from them, and I've asked from them, you know, how does this all feel to you? And mostly it's very, very positive. I think that the best thing I could do is to let them know how much I love doing what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. We really want to reach children in a genuine way, to respect them and to create something that could just capture that moment in time when we are young parents, when we are in a community, when we are vulnerable and beautiful and strong. And I think that yes, I think there will be moments where I wish Dad was not Mr. Chris in this show. But I think my hope is that eventually those intentions will be what survives.
Chris Dorman is host of Mr. Chris and Friends on Vermont PBS. Episodes air Mondays and Wednesdays at 9:30 a.m. on Vermont PBS, and all of the episodes are available to watch at vermontpbs.org. Chris, thanks very much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Jane.
And we'll take you out with the song you end each episode of Mr. Chris and Friends with.
Goodbye, farewell. Goodbye, adios. Goodbye, au revoir. And may we always cherish what we've had. And then next time, we'll play again. See you next time, friends.